Now, would you turn down your heating to save the planet? What about cutting out red meat or avoiding taking any flights? A major new climate change report from MPs is telling us to set the thermostat at a maximum of 19 degrees Celsius and ditch gas boilers. The Committee on Climate Change says the UK could cut greenhouse gases to nearly zero by 2050 just by following some simple steps. The issue has achieved a high profile recently after the BBC's David Attenborough climate documentary, Protest by Extinction Rebellion, and speeches by the teenage campaigner Greta Thunberg. So what do you think about this? Would you be prepared to give up your big steaks or your do without your foreign holidays? The commentators Dave Atherton and the environmental journalist Jeff Gazzard with us. Morning to you, Dave.
Good morning.
Morning, good morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you think, Dave? Would you be prepared to give it all up? Help the environment?
No, I'm not. For simple reason, I do not like telling... I do not like people telling me how to live my life. I don't like people telling me what I can and what I can't buy. That's just a matter for my personal discretion, not anybody else's. And with the eco people, it's going to be a case of they're going to want laws, they're going to want higher taxes, they want to make me do things. I think they want to rule out get rid of gas boilers by about 2025, something like that. I'm not prepared to do it.
Why not? Why don't you care?
I'll tell you the reason why. The average cost of an eco boiler is something like £12,000, while gas one is £3,000. That's a massive difference in price. I can't afford that kind of money to go green.
But it's not just about affordability for you, is it? It's more that you don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah, it's principle as well. It's principle and cost. And also, it's the whole double standard thing here. I was doing some research yesterday. And apparently in Germany, it's actually greener to drive a diesel car than a battery-operated car. By the time you've taken all the materials out of the ground and refined it, it actually, in the long run, gives out somewhere between 11% and 28% more CO2 than a diesel car.
Jeff?
Where to start? We need to go on a carbon diet, just like you've gone on a packet of crisp diet. And unfortunately, with that comes an element of compulsion, an element of control, an element of taxation, and an element of changing lifestyle.
There we go.
And that's right, absolutely. Nobody denies that. The Committee on Climate Change, unlike you and unlike me, are the government's legal advisors on how we meet these targets. So if you want to argue the legality of what they're saying, then you'd need to overturn an act of parliament. So that's the legal aspects of it done. The libertarian, free range, I'm going to do what I want, two fingers up to everybody. I think we're living in the 1950s there. And, it's 2019. Next you'll be telling me you don't believe in climate change at all, which I suspect is also...
Well, next you'll be telling us you don't think we should be doing long-haul flights. You don't think we should be travelling if we want to.
Next, I think that we should be going on a carbon diet. And here's what I would suggest in terms of vacationing and stuff like that.
A carbon diet? What's that?
Well, it's where you fly long haul once every 3 years, where year two, you go somebody in Ireland or Northern Ireland.
I do about five long hauls every year.
Well, there we are.
Five return flights, about 10.
Cut that by one return trip, and that would be an excellent start. Thanks. And some of this stuff...
Would you do that by law, or would you do that voluntarily?
At the moment, I'm talking about what people can do voluntarily. But as we switch, for instance, from fossil fuels, which I think everybody agrees is a good thing for the health of the planet and us individually, we're going to have to go on a carbon diet as well. And the personal responsibility starts now, and that would be slightly more than the normal green mantra of walking the kids to school, cycling and using public transport. We need to move beyond that, and that's what the statistics and the science say we need to do.
Jeff, would that include people like, green warriors like Ed Miliband, who's done 19,000 miles in flying in the last year or so, and Emma Thompson, who flew into the Extinction Rebellion on a first-class flight from Los Angeles? Couldn't she have done it by Skype?
And you're quite right that she should and could have done it by Skype. And I think you'll find that pointing out these issues, and they are issues, and it's a serious comment to make about the lifestyles of Greens, in quotes, And I think what Extinction Rebellion have done, I think also what the government's advisors are going to do, and I think also it's not just, you know, the Guardian readers here are on this case. 10 days ago, Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, warned about the
Extinction Rebellion
closed
down parts of London for days.
Well, they did. But what can you do if you're committed to direct action, to get an issue on the agenda? Those are the kind of things you do. I'm going to make no apologies for that. That's what has
really,
to happen.
Disrupting people's lives, disrupting people getting to school and getting to work.
But Stephen, there's a history of, for instance, direct action for causes that you might support. What about the suffragettes? What about them throwing themselves under the racehorses at Epsom? You know, tragedy for the horse and for the woman concerned. There are issues which are so important to everybody's life and the future of our children and grandchildren that direct action has a place in the lexicon of protest. There's no question about that. I'm not going to criticise Extinction Rebellion. I happen to agree with them 100%.
I think this comes down to, well, one of the things this comes down to is a pretty fundamental question, actually. There are some people that think that, you know, the damage to the environment, the imminent, irreversible damage to the environment claims are being exaggerated. And there are others think that it's so imminent and so real that people need to realise it's not exaggeration.
Well, I don't think there is any time left for discussing that basic, can we find a middle road between those extremes? The extremists are the people who deny we need to do anything, and the science, and look, the Committee on Climate Change is not a bunch of Extinction Rebellion protesters writing this down on the back of a fag packet whilst they're blockading the entrance to Oxford Circus tube station. This is a staff of 40 or 50 people working away, all degree qualified, PhDs on whatever topic you want, environmental economists, agricultural economists, you know, it's an
what more experts,
group.
Jeff?
Well, if you want to criticise experts, do so from a base of knowledge and science, not just because you want a libertarian free-range lifestyle. You're entitled to have that opinion, but not at the cost.
One of Extinction Rebellion's spokespeople was a guy called Robin Baldwin Patterson.
I know all about him, and he's gone on.
No, we're not. And we're not getting in. This is not a conversation about Extinction Rebellion. Full stop. This is about climate change and whether we all have a responsibility, Jeff and Dave, to actually get up off our backside and do something about it and play our part, or whether Dave actually. You know, your view clearly is that you want the freedom that comes with doing whatever you want, right?
Well, indeed. Let me give you some examples from my side of the fence. You know, a lot of people on the green lobby are sort of do as I say, not as I do. But someone like myself, I got the car MOT'd the other day. I've done 1,150 miles in the last year because I take public transport and walk everywhere. I've taken one flight in the last 5 years. So I don't like flying.
That's really good. Eight out of ten. Eight out of ten. What's wrong with that?
But you're not going to start stigmatizing people that get, you know, that for whatever, maybe holidays are really important to them, family holidays. You're not going to start stigmatizing people for getting on a plane, Jeff Gosser, are you?
What I'm saying to people is that flight a vital part of getting to a destination? And is that destination?
Well, having a donut isn't vital. Going to the cinema isn't vital. But we all like a little bit of freedom and enjoyment in our life.
But I'm not stopping people eating donuts, except in your case, and I'm not stopping people going to the cinema.
Gee.
What I'm simply saying is, if we need to leave as much carbon in the form of fossil fuel in the ground, that is going to impact on us all. And the Committee on Climate Change is the statutory.
It's not
going to
impact on us all, is it, within our lifetime, or is it?
Well, I think actually it is. You've got, you know, a really powerful farming lobby in Northern Ireland. Ask their representatives what they think about crop damage. Ask them what they think about continually flooded fields. Ask them what they think about not being able to put their cows out to pasture as they've done in the last decade. All of these.
Why couldn't they put their cows out to pasture? I don't understand.
Well, because it's too wet. And what they do
really?
Is they keep. Yes, they keep them in sheds over the winter, feed them silage, basically because that's more efficient in terms of producing milk or whatever.
But you don't want to see too many cows, do you? Because with them all breaking wind, letting off, that's damaging to the environment, isn't it?
And the Committee on Climate Change has recommended in its exhaustive look at agriculture that we perhaps switch to a diet of chicken. Whether that's takeaway chicken in buckets or not, I wouldn't like to say. But this is a comprehensive, really good, easy to access report that says, hey, everybody, we need to think about changing our lifestyles. Buy the thickest duvet you can. Turn the heating off overnight.
Here's Kieran in the Nevada. Morning, Kieran.
Good morning, Stephen. I was just listening to your discussion. What I do with my heating is I keep it at 15 all the time, but I keep the heating on 24/7. And I find that's quite adequate. The heat sort of builds
19?
No, 15. I keep it at 15.
15 degrees?
Yes.
Just freezing.
No, it's not. The heating's on all the time. It's on 24/7. And you find that actually the house is warm enough. So it is. Plus the fact I've changed the... A heating engineer explained it to me. I've changed the thermostat on the wall to an electronic thermostat rather than one with a bimetal strip.
Well, I've got the wee thing on my phone where you can turn the heating up and down from your phone. It's quite handy. You can save doing that.
Well, I'm retired now, so I'm in and out of the house all the time. So I don't need the phone. I can just turn it up and turn it down.
I see. Thank you, Kieran. Here's Jay next. Morning, Jay.
Good morning, Stephen. Morning. Stephen, it's very, very likely that Arsenal and Chelsea will get through to the final of the European Cup. And if they do, the two London teams will play the final in Azerbaijan. How's that for saving flights?
They'll play in Azerbaijan?
Yeah.
Where's that?
You tell me. Let's organise before they do.
So, before the Soviet states.
Azerbaijan is where?
It's south of Russia.
Capital Baku. That'll be an experience. I'm not going to decry anybody a flight to go and support their football team if that's what they want to spend their carbon on. This isn't about killjoy activity. It's about saying to people, if you decide to do that, that's probably no more flights for 18 months to 2 years. That's the equation. You know, Dave has said he's done that kind of decision-making himself. And that's all we're asking people to do, you know.
Ration now, the amount of trips you go on.
Well, you need...
You'll soon be getting to the stage where you'll be afraid to go out in the morning. Alex in London. Morning, Alex.
Well, Stephen, good morning to you. I thought maybe this was a comedy hour, but I think maybe he is being serious. Look, what is the point of the UK doing anything to the extent that he's talking about? What about the rest of the world? Where
the rest
is
of the
all
world.
This coming from? China?
Yeah.
No, the rest of the world.
So if we do what he suggests, a lot of people, for starters, would be out of a job.
It's not. No, this just simply isn't true. It's
suggesting. It's God's gift, it seems.
No. I'm simply repeating what the government's official advisers say is necessary. Now,
gift. Are you telling me that the government get it right every time? I don't think so.
Have I said that? But what I will tell you is...
We shouldn't fly. Stephen shouldn't take his trips to America.
That's not what I said.
Hold on now, Alex. Let's hear it.
Who do you think you are?
Well, let's let him reply.
Well, the point about this is that China has the Chinese Academy of Sciences, who are busy telling the Chinese government, in a similar fashion to our own Committee on Climate Change, here's your CO2 trajectory.
Great.
And some economies can grow, providing by 2050 they've started contracting to the targets that everybody has signed up to. Mm-hmm. So, do you have a mobile phone?
When were you last? My business is my business. When were you last in China?
Do you have a mobile phone?
When was he last? What, Alex?
When was he last in China or India?
I was last in China in about 1982.
All right. Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. Mm. Now,
I've never been in China in my life.
Your mobile phone, like my mobile phone, has been in China at some stage in its construction because we don't make them in the UK.
Nothing's made in the UK. If you look at the labels, made in the UK. Right. Everything's in China.
Listen, I'm sorry, but we've got to leave it there. But thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, everybody.
My goodness. Sometimes I'm exhausted just listening to all of these people.